Merry Christmas. I want to thank all of you for being here, and those that have traveled from afar and have come back who used to be here when. We're glad you're with us. I want to thank all the people that contributed poinsettias to, in memory of or in honor of. Thank you so much. If you look at the bulletin tonight, I've done something I've never done before. I'm having two gospels, and the reason is I want to talk about Mary and Joseph, and Matthew does one, Luke does the other, so you don't need to stand for the gospel, and I also kind of threw out one of the other readings, so it's not terribly, terribly long tonight. So other than that, I would like to begin our service with the Christmas Proclamation. Many ages after God created the heavens and the earth, when man and women were formed in God's own image, long after the great flood, when God set the rainbow in the clouds as a sign of the covenant, 21 centuries from the time of Abraham and Sarah, 13 centuries after Moses led God's people to freedom, 11 centuries from the time of Ruth and the Judges, 1,000 years from the anointing of David as king, in the 65th week as Daniel's prophecy takes note, in the 194th Olympiad, the 757th year from the founding of the city of Rome, the 42nd year of the reign of Octavian Augustus in our history. In the sixth age of the world, all earth being at peace, Jesus the Christ, eternal God, Son of the eternal Father, willing to hallow the world by his coming in mercy, was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. And today is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, God made flesh. Let us stand to sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Thank you.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined.
We have beheld Christ's glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. May the grace and truth of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, you made this holy night shine with brightness of true light, that here on earth we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence, and in the last day wait for the brightness of his glory. One God,
now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from the book of Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds.
Our first gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 2. And I'll begin with verse 8. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those he favors." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what they had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they have heard and seen as it had been told to them. We will sing, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear."
Thank you.
gospel that deals with Joseph is in Matthew, beginning with verse 13 in chapter 2. Now, after they had left three wise men, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." And when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. And he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And when Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, this evening I'd like to look at the earthly parents of the baby Jesus, Mary the mother and Joseph the foster father. Each had something special going on in their lives, that God aimed strictly at them separately. Luke tells us about Mary. Matthew tells us about Joseph. And when we read about the shepherds and their words of what the angels had said, and Mary pondered the shepherds' words, the word made flesh always calls us to meditation. And I think you know that not all children are cherished by their mothers, and not all words are to be treasured. And sometimes harsh words can stick with us like glue, particularly after perhaps a breakup of a relationship we valued. Or perhaps we remember nasty criticism, perhaps even assuming the person's correct, forgetting all the affirmative words that people have said to you. Or if we receive too much praise, we might come to think we can't do any wrong. There may or may not be any truth whatsoever in what other people say about us, but sometimes we take those words as gospel and we ponder them. And in the process of pondering the words that Mary heard, she learned to filter out what was going to happen, because she was going to have a rough life as long as this son was on earth. And for us to filter out what people say to us that harm us is going to require within each of us some hard work, but also the honest capacity to reflect, and we need some strength to sort through all these feelings. That's what pondering is. That's what Mary was doing. And she set for us a model of a spiritual discipline. I don't know how much pondering you do. I don't know how much sitting down before God, be still and know that I am God, and shut up. Don't be yammering at God. Let God talk to you as you ponder. It's a spiritual discipline, and Mary modeled it, reminding us that there is a thoughtful and a contemplative, a thinking, meditative portion of our Christian faith. Now, by now, Mary's exhausted. But even though she's tired, and she's in a strange place, a smelly place, that's not where she would have wanted to have her baby. But she exhibited for us an exquisite unity of feeling and thought. You have your feelings because of what you're thinking. And she pondered so that she could feel what God wanted her to feel. And she paused what she heard in her heart. She reminds us that we need to meditate throughout our lives. We never outgrow it. And Jesus, after all, as we think about him and what he has done in our lives, or what he has done for those that we love, Jesus knows us better than anybody else. And Jesus comes to us two ways: as a self-sacrificing redeemer, but also as a decisive judge. And that's something to ponder and to treasure. Now, fear enters in here, definitely for Joseph, definitely for Mary. And when we ponder, sometimes fear will enter in, because our world is changing, and sometimes too fast. And it is helpful to remember this during Christmas when we read of Mary's pregnancy, Jesus' birth. And I know our culture emphasizes the excitement and joy of this time of the year, but many of us struggle with fear. To us comes the angel's command, as it did to Mary, separately to Joseph, separately to the three wise men, separately to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Emmanuel, God with us, is coming into the world and into our lives. And we are called to be witnesses of God's mighty acts, and then to respond with thanksgiving and praise. But you know, fear is universal. And some of our fears seem trivial, like fear of botching something up. While others' fears might be more serious. Perhaps it's a fear of going into debt. Perhaps it's a fear of loneliness, because you've had a loss of a relationship. Perhaps it's a fear of relapsing back into whatever. I don't know if you knew, but the word fear, or the phrase fear not, in some translations, occurs 365 times within our scriptures, once for each day of the year. Even the best news, Jesus' resurrection after the dead, what was the first thing? It was fear. So it shouldn't come to you as any surprise that Jesus' story begins with fear. The same way when the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that the Lord is with her, if you go back and read that in Luke, Mary is greatly troubled. And Gabriel responds immediately. He's always the announcer. Fear not. Now, I know fear is a normal part of life, and I hope you know this. It's not outside the experience of being a Christian, but we need to deal with it in a healthy way. For yeah, we live in a fallen world, where bad things happen. How about that tsunami, huh? Or war. Or famine. Violence against others. Accidents. disease, perhaps depression, poverty, loneliness, death. They're all parts of being human. And as when we do confession on a Sunday morning, we say we are captive to sin and we cannot free ourselves. Sometimes we ourselves might be the cause of the hurt we experience. But whatever it is, it's there. It must be dealt with. One of the things that we don't often talk about, but biblical scholars know that the birth of Christ was not in December, but it had been moved by the early church in celebration because of the winter solstice. It is the darkest, the coldest time of the year, and reminds us of our struggles. And our struggles this Christmas shows the extent to which God brings us light and hope in a child. Angels, God's messengers, bring us light and hope. Yet the first thing I think they say is fear not. It was most certainly true for Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. They all heard the same thing. And I used to think that the reason the angels said fear not is because they look so strange to us. I'm not so sure about that anymore. Because the people that the angel says fear not to are people who are in frightening situations. And it is a message to them. Don't be afraid, regardless of what mess you're in. And we hear in those gospels the angel's message to Mary and shepherds every year. But we usually don't hear about Joseph's fear. And that's why we read two Gospels tonight. And perhaps it reflects the way we as a culture deal with our men and our boys. And we tell them to man up and to minimize their fear as if denying it would keep it at bay. It doesn't, and men, you know that. Your fear must be dealt with. And so we read of Joseph's fear. But the truth is, courage doesn't come from just being aware of the danger, but knowing it as a reality and facing it. Nelson Mandela wrote a book, Long Walk to Freedom, and he wrote in there, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear. Courage was the triumph over it." And when the angel comes to Joseph, he already learns his fiance is pregnant with a child and it isn't his. So he decided he had good intentions. He was going to dismiss her. Now, those intentions are merciful because he could have chosen to have her stoned. That was the usual punishment. And yet he had fear. And the type of fear that Joseph had was a fear of losing control of what was going on in his life. What is this angel doing anyway? Whatever it was Joseph feared, it's surely going to add to his fear of losing his own personal control, his own personal reputation, because what happened here with Mary? Joseph was probably thinking, now what? And the angel tells Joseph the name of the child, which in Hebrew means God will be with us. And the miracle of the incarnation of the God present into human life is not that it happened, but it's the way it happened. God is made manifest not as a powerful figure like Herod, but as a poor, helpless infant. And indeed, we're just ordinary folks, and God is still using each one of us, ordinary folks, to bring hope and peace to other people in times of trouble. God enters into our fears, and we celebrate the birth of Jesus in these darkest days of the year remembering that God is present in the hardest parts of our lives. And we remember not only the fear of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, as well as how the power of God helped them to act despite their fear. When we actually watch and tune in and become aware of God's will at work where we live in this place right now with what's going on. And throughout his life, Jesus experienced the same. He knew joy, he knew sorrow, he knew victory, he knew hardship, and he sure knew betrayal, and he even knew thirst. And he knew how to die, and not in an easy way. In entering our common human life, Jesus enters the fullness of any fear you may have. And here is the good news, that Jesus will not rest until we and the entire world are redeemed. God's promise leads us to look at the real challenges in our life in a new way. And at Christmas, we celebrate anew. Christ has already won the victory, so don't be afraid. For fear, as Joseph found, is the opposite of faith. Fear is going to try and push you to manipulate your world, to get back into that safe place that no longer seems to be there. But we are called to choose to serve God alone, which means we are called by Jesus and God the Spirit to leave behind those elements of fear that we've woven into our faith. That fear that we have woven into our faith that has affected your attitudes and your actions. And we, like Mary and Joseph, are being called to leave it behind, to ponder, to figure it out, and to serve God. Now on this Christmas Eve and Christmas time, I'd like to quote to you a blessing from Philippians. Now may the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and vibrant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join in that unending hymn. Again, after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we're able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these, your gifts of bread and wine, so that we may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, receive the forgiveness of sin, and may be formed to live as your holy people, to be given our inheritance with all your saints. And to you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in this and all holy churches, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into
table. All are welcome. The white is the grape juice, the red is the wine, cup, chalice is the wine. We have gluten if you need it. All are welcome.
Thank you.
giving. You are the angels announcing peace.
We live with joy in your name and peace.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now.